God is good. Last week we ministered at St. Paul's in Christchurch. Their church got damaged and they were going to rebuild it for about $4 million. And then the earthquake did a really good job and damaged it completely. So it was nice to be there. That's the church I went to before I got saved. And the only thing they remember about me was my afro. It was nice to be in a Presbyterian church. You walk up about 100 miles to the pulpit because they carry the Bible up the front. And some of those Presbyterian traditions. Sometimes in Pentecost, we don't have traditions. And sometimes some traditions are quite good. Are you all right? So it was nice to be there and minister there on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And thank you for praying for us. Got quite a busy few weeks, so if you can remember us in prayer. I was in Christchurch for Monday and Tuesday or the week before that. And then we went down on Saturday again, came back on Monday. I went to Auckland on Tuesday, came back on Wednesday. Went to Wellington on Friday and came back yesterday. And I'm going to Auckland today and come back tomorrow. And then I'll go to Nelson tomorrow and come back on Thursday. So are you all right? I'm just sharing with you some of the things that I do, and so you can pray for me, all right? Praise the Lord. God is good. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, we're preaching from that. Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And we are sharing on that last bit of that verse, according to the power that works within us. Everything happens from within. If you're angry, you may display it outside, but you're angry from within. If there is division, whether it's in the family, in the school, or in a church, the division comes from within. It didn't just happen. It came from within. The treasure is in earthen vessel, but the treasure is inside. When you're born again, you're still bald. If you're born again bald, you're still bald after you're born again. But you're born again inside. If you're born again a Samoan, you're still a Samoan after you're born again. But you are born again inside. Hallelujah. Your gifting and talents and abilities are within. Jesus said that the rivers that flow from within. He that believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So the rivers come from within. Are you all right? When God leads us from within. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. So everything happens from within. It's like we are built inside out. The world inside comes outside. The Bible says when Solomon prayed, when he dedicated the temple, he said, God, when things happen, because we know the plague of our own heart, and the plague of our heart is displayed outside. The plague that happens outside comes from within, but the blessing that happens outside also comes from within. The Bible says the spirit of a man and a woman is the candle of the Lord. So God will light the candle and enlighten you from within. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart flow your life. Your life does not flow from your education. Your life flows from within. The education helps you to hone your skills, but your life comes from within. You can pump information into you until you're blue in the face. Your life still comes from within. Are you all right? So the Bible says our blessing and our prosperity, how we move forward in God, is according to the power that works within us. The Bible says when God looks at us, he looks inside. He doesn't look outside. So you may be glorious outside, but God does not look outside. God looks inside. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole world, that he may find one whose heart, what is within, whose heart is perfect towards God. So our life comes from within, but many times we decorate what's outside and forget what's inside. Are you okay? Say amen.
Amen.
So when you're born again, everything inside you is renewed. And then you have to walk in that. The only problem is you still live in a physical body. So what is within says, the Bible says, is created in righteousness and true holiness. So what's inside is actually righteous. And what's inside wants to worship God. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. But when you come down to your flesh, we don't want to do that. This is what we want to do. And many times our flesh wins over our spirit, and the conflict happens. And like Pastor Denny said when he was here, were you here when he was here?
Yeah.
That conflict is there until you die. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I put my body under. Why? Because Paul had a problem with his body. If you let your body do what it wants to do, it'll oversleep, it'll overeat, it'll overdo everything. It'll indulge itself. But we walk according to the power that we allow to work within our lives. So everything happens from within. And your world is far bigger within than outside. You know, you can travel to places you've never been to, but you can do that inside. Yeah. You dream. And if you've been to a place that you like, you constantly visit that place, but you think about it. Why? Because the world inside of you is far bigger than the world outside of you, but the world outside is controlled from within. Hallelujah. Are you okay? When you understand what is within you, you will be a tremendous success. If you understand what God has deposited in you. And we don't always know what we have within. Are you all right? You don't always know your capability until those capabilities are surfaced. And most often, they are surfaced under stress. That's why you go through the difficulties you go through, because God wants to introduce you to yourself and introduce you to his ability that he has placed within you. And maybe you don't like this. Don't avoid the problems. You're not known for what you avoid. You are known for what you survive. No one will ever write a book about somebody that keep avoiding responsibility and avoiding this and avoiding that. You are not known for what you avoid. You are known for what you conquer. You're known for what you survive. You're known for what you go through. And what you go through comes from within. But it takes a problem to reveal what's within. Are you all right? Say amen. And many times we try to avoid everything that comes our way when God is trying to introduce us to our future. God is trying to introduce us to ourselves. God is trying to introduce us to our greatness. But it's not moving. It's resident within, but it's latent. Until something comes that will wake it up. Are you all right? The perfect love casts out all fear. You say, well, how does he do that? Wait until You see your child being molested, and that perfect love kicks up and kicks in, and you don't care if she's molested by 5 gang members. But something within rages up. But it takes a situation to surface it. Are you all right? Say amen. Don't avoid Goliath. It was Goliath that showed the greatness of the king. Without Goliath, David would not be the king, because it was Goliath that introduced David to his greatness. And how did God choose David? He chose him from within. Eliab came, Nathanael came, and all the other guys came. And Samuel looked at their stature outside, but God said, not him, not him, not him. Because God does not look outside. God looks inside. Hallelujah. And your greatness flows from within. But sometimes it takes a problem to surface. What's that song? Sometimes it just takes a mountain to trust him and believe. And sometimes it takes a problem in your life. It takes a divorce. It takes a teenager running away. It takes this problem or that problem to surface the ability and the resolve that is latent within. And sometimes you think you won't survive, but 10 years down the road, you've survived and you've had a story, because you did not avoid the Goliath, you killed him. Yeah. Don't avoid the center, build it. It doesn't build by itself. But it takes a dilemma to surface what God has placed within you. Are you all right? Is this okay? And sometimes we need a trigger to reveal what is within. Hallelujah. Moses needed the Red Sea to reveal the greatness of God and the fact that a human being can just lean on the Lord. Are you all right? Sometimes we need somebody else to tell us what lies within us and what we have. Hallelujah. That's why when we shared on destiny, we said, God will sometime put your destiny in the hand of another man. That's why some of you are married to the one that you're married to. That's why some of you are no longer married to the ones that you used to be married to. Because God puts your destiny in the hand of another man, another woman, and it takes somebody else to tell you, hoy. So Paul had to write to a church that was rich beyond compare, powerful beyond compare, but they were living below what God has provided. And he said, oi, open the eyes of your understanding. You've got a great inheritance in the saints, but you're not doing it. You guess what? We've got a great inheritance. We just need to get up and do it. Sometimes we have what we have, but we don't know what we have. The ability to fulfill your assignment in life is already in you. And when you're going through pain, come hell or high water, you think you're not going to survive, but you do, because there's a resolve that never surfaced until the difficulties outside bring it to pass and say, whoa. That's why Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. He said, you think, he was really saying, you think I'm strong when I'm strong? You wait until I'm weak. That's when I'm really strong. Because the power of my God kicks into gear and is made perfect when I'm weak. She's all right. Hallelujah. So you need somebody else to tell you, hey, this is who you are. This is what you've got. This is your abilities. These are your giftings. Say amen. Amen. A friend of mine stopped in Singapore, and he always wanted a Rolex. So he went to a Rolex shop. And he said, oh, I've been dreaming of owning a Rolex. So the guy said, you don't need a Rolex. You got a good watch. There's nothing wrong with your watch. He said, oh, no, I've always. Now look at this. Somebody in Germany gifted him the watch. So to him, it was just a watch. And the guy said, well, go in there and have a look and see if you find a Rolex that you like. But let me have a look at your watch. So he took his watch off and he went over and he looked, you know, I think the most expensive Rolex in there was about 50,000. And when he came out, the guy said, you can have your watch. There's not a watch in my shop that is better than your watch. He said, give me a break. He said, I've just valued your watch from my experience as a jeweler and a watch maker. And it's about 139,000. There's not a Rolex in here that equals your watch. So I asked him, can I have your watch? He was gifted to you. Can you gift it to me? No. See, he had something that he needed somebody else to tell him its value. And many times we need somebody else to tell us about who we are and what God has done in our lives. Yeah. And sometimes we've been battered and bruised so much that when people tell you, oh, you're doing fine, we just cry, I'm not doing fine. You're still here, aren't you? The devil has tried to kill you, but he had to go for a holiday because he can't kill you. Even amongst all the problems you've had. Let me tell you something. If the devil could have killed you, he would have killed you. He's out to kill and steal and destroy. He would have killed you. But you're still here because there's something resident in within you that God has put in there. And it comes up. That was good preaching. But it needed a trigger to reveal the things that God has laid within, because nobody arrives on the planet without an ability that is God-given. No one arrives in the planet without a gifting from God to be able to fulfill the assignment that God has given to you. You need to find out what you've got, find out your assignment. When you fulfill your assignment, you're going to be great. Hallelujah. Mother Teresa could have stayed in her home, been quite successful, apparently quite well off, but she went to Calcutta. Why? She found her assignment, she found her gifting, she found her ability. The rest is history. Say amen.
Amen.
Sometimes God Himself will tell us that. And sometimes even when God tells us, we still don't. That's why we need through the mouth of two or three witnesses. Because even when God tells us, well, who am I? Well, you're made in His image. That's who you are. You don't have value because of what you do. You don't have value because you're rich. You have value because of who made you. That's why when a painter paints a painting, he signs his signature. If I sign my signature at a painting, you won't buy it. But this is the amazing thing. If I paint rubbish and Van Gogh signs it, guess what? The rest of the planet will buy it. Why? Because of his name. And you have worth, not because of what you do. You got worth because God's signature is on your face. Look at you. You're made in the image of God, and you have worth, you have ability, you have a capability because of who made you. Why is Rolex so expensive and why? Because of who made it. Hallelujah. Why did you buy the car that you bought? Because of the brand on the thing. Now, no one goes and buys the cars they don't like. The only reason we buy the cars we don't like is because we think we can't afford it. So we just get given what we get. We just take what we get given. When God says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. And Maoris think expensively. According to what you ask or think. And sometimes God himself will show you that, but we need confirmation because we still live in a fallen planet. We need people to constantly tell us, hey, that's true, hey, that's true, hey, that's true, hey, that's... Hallelujah. The young boy, God spoke to Joseph in a dream. The young fellow was young enough to believe. So he foolishly told the church. And the church almost killed him. Are you all right? He says he told his brethren. Brethren. All right, is that us? Okay. But God spoke to him as a boy and told him what his gifting was, told him the abilities that he has. And then find himself in a place where it seems like this gifting will never come to pass. And then somebody in jail had a dream. And then the head shebang of the whole planet had a dream. Sometimes your wisdom and the wisdom of your gifting is not revealed until you're restricted. It was in the confines of jail that gifting was honed. Until it is displayed outside to the whole world. But sometimes the answer to the difficulties you go through are found in jail. They're found in your restrictions. They're found in places where you are confined. You know, most of us run away. Because we don't like the pain. But you will never grow because you can only grow to the threshold of your pain. Are you all right? Many times in Pentecost, we don't have a very good theology of pain. We try to avoid pain. You don't avoid the Red Sea, you go through it. You don't bypass Goliath, you deal with him. And God will send the problems to you that the ability within and the gifting within is surfaced to solve the problem. You know, many people work for money. There are volunteers that don't, they just work for love. But many people work for money. If you find your assignment and solve the problem, God will see that you get paid for solving the problem. Have you ever been to a dentist? You hate them, but you give them money. Why do you give money to somebody that you hate? Because they provide a solution for you. They don't earn money, they just provide solution. You give them money to give you the solution. Am I right? And even though you may not like it, you'll still give them money merely because they have provided a solution for your teeth. You find a solution, you resources will follow your solution if you find the solution that people are looking for. Are you okay? Why do we talk about Esther so much? When Esther, you'll never meet her until you get to heaven. I mean, she's not even a Kiwi. Yet we talk about Esther as though she's a next door neighbor. Why? Because she provided a solution for genocide. Why do we talk about Daniel? I mean, you think the guy comes to our church. Why do we talk about Joseph? Because they survived the problem that made them great. And it came from within. How many know what Microsoft is? What is Microsoft? And where is Microsoft found? Who is Microsoft? I just ask you a question. Who's Microsoft? Bill Gates. What did he provide? A solution. Is he well off? Now, Bill Gates worked for IBM. At the time, was the biggest computer company in the world. And he presented to the board this idea of Microsoft that a computer can come. They said, it wouldn't work. Why? Because they wanted to keep to their own traditions. So he left IBM, went to his garage, and now he's no longer in a garage. Why? Because he provided a solution. Why do you pay the airline? Because somebody provided a solution. Why do you worship him? Because he provided a solution for sin. Amen. Why do you give your all? Why do you give on Sunday? And why do you come? Why do you come to church? Why do you wake up in the morning? And even though the All Blacks has already played, but you still wake up in the morning to come to church. Why? Because on the hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Emblem of suffering and shame. It was on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify you and I. And we've given up our lives because He provided a solution for the problem that we have. He's provided hope, and those administering the emblems come. And we come week in, week out. We pray in the morning, in the evening. We read His word. Why do we give our lives? Because He's provided a remedy for the problem that we have. Man's greatest difficulty and pain threshold is death. Jesus has annihilated death. He's provided a solution. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he is dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me will never die. God is close to those who are of a contrite heart and a broken spirit. He will bind up their wounds. Why do we live for Him? Because He provided a solution. Why do we die for Him? Because He provided a solution. Why would you leave your home and the comfort of your home to carry this message to other parts of the planet? Because He alone provided a solution. Not only forgiven us of our sin and cleansed us from all unrighteousness, He's conquered death and the grave. So the war cry of the apostle, death. Hallelujah. Where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? It's conquered. God has provided. So I cherish that old cross. Hallelujah. With the dearest and best. He gave His all to provide me a solution so I can live with hope. I can conquer tomorrow. I can traverse my Red Seas. I can slay my Goliaths. Because I've found my assignment and I have the ability to provide a solution for the problems that I face.